While my lovely assistant is going to get some other things ready for sort of an object lesson, I want you to be attentive with your listening skills, but also with your eyes. And you know, some of you may catch up on all the details that are in the scripture, but there's one that I wanted to especially point out later on. So, if you'd excuse me just a moment, not that the breakfast wasn't filling. It was very good, and I probably had enough of that, but my wife can tell when I'm just a little bit short of stuff, so I'm going to partake just a moment. And you can be thinking about details, perhaps of your life, or maybe about what I'm doing. It's up to you. Carrots are good for you. Everything here is pretty healthy, I think, in general. What is that? I think there's Kool-Aid in my Kool-Aid. So it's, yeah, it's good. So you might be thinking about many things that concern the Easter time. But don't think so hard that you don't see the obvious. Okay, Scripture. Reading from the book of John. Book of John, chapter 20. Reading from the scripture. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what she had done and that she had seen these things which had been done to her. Really should have had more water or juice last time. Yeah, there's something about taking a bite out of an apple. I don't think I'll do that. We forget about the details. I mean, I think we all understand the big picture of Easter. The big stuff. And that's good. I mean, that's the most important thing. But sometimes we forget the details. What's going on? So the details in the scripture. We look back at that. Well, one was kind of touched on this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And it's somewhat a simple thing to think about, and yet I think it's quite important that when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed, we perhaps put a little too much into it that the angel rolled the stone away so Jesus could get out. Jesus was already out. You see, if Jesus wants to walk through a door, he'll walk through a door. So he wasn't behind the stone saying, man, I wish those angels would get here so I can get out, and Mary's going to be here in a little bit and I got to be outside. He was already out. A lot of times, things happen just to help us. We would not know that Jesus was gone unless the stone was rolled away. So it was for us the stone was rolled away, not for him. She went and told others. I think that's a big deal for us, because a lot of times I know I sit back and I just drink in Easter. I think how much it means to me. Do I realize how much it means to me so that I can be empowered to go out and tell others about how much it means to me? She felt such, within herself, such emotion, she wanted to tell other people. May it be for you and may it be for me. So telling Peter and John. The interesting thing, too, is that Mary came as soon as she could. I'm wondering how many times we come as soon as we could. In that, the burial and things had to take place before the feast, before the Sabbath, before things took place. They had to get all this work done. In the Sabbath, you couldn't do anything. So the first day of their week was the first time that she could really do something about it. And she came early. It says, while it was still dark. She came as soon as she could. She responded as soon as she could. Do we respond as soon as we can? It's interesting in the run here. These people are excited. Peter and John are running. John wins. You want to say that? And we all think, well, great, he was fast, but he doesn't go in. Interesting detail, isn't it? First one there, and I don't know if I'll go in. Isn't it interesting that in our lives, sometimes the warmest affections are not always accompanied by the boldest resolutions? Oh, I love Jesus. I'm doing my devotions. I'm praising God. I just love him so much. You going to tell anybody else? Oh, well, that's for others to do. Others that are bolder than I. If your affections are warm, your actions should be responding and corresponding. Because a lot of times, now I'm probably one of the biggest, I put down Peter a lot, always kind of getting himself out there and then having to be reined back in. But this time, boldness went first. Boldness entered the tomb first. And then the others followed. In the body of Christ, we need everybody. We need those that can be here and sing and lead, and Olivia's testing that out. We need people that are behind the scenes as well. We need everyone's energy to make it work. So sometimes we need sort of the young energetic to run out ahead, but we also need the bold to also be there to say, hey, don't fear this. Let's go in. Let's see what's happening. So they go in. And what they find there, they saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Catch any details yet? Okay, what was the detail? Okay. The first time. Okay. Yeah. The first time I folded it, what did Gene do? Continued to wait. When I crumpled it and laid it there, she came. It was a custom in there that in a gathering or whatnot, if the master was eating and the master folded his napkin and left, that meant, I'm coming back. If he crumpled it up or if he left it in disarray, that meant, go ahead and take it away, I'm done. Jesus, why is that little bit of thing in there? Why is that detail in there? Who cares if he folded it or not? He's not going for a neatness award. Why is he doing this? Because Jesus is telling anybody that comes and looks, I'm coming back. I will be back. Great for the leading, I think, Don, you wanted that song, Glorious Day. He's coming back. We as servants, are we going to be prepared till he comes back? Are we going to be prepared to serve in all of that time until he comes back? So think of that little detail sometime when you're just going around life. He's coming back. And we need to be ready. The angels, it's kind of neat to think about them still being attentive here. And thinking of attentive, I don't know what time it is. But anyway, thinking of that idea about coming back, just a little humorous sidelight probably, was that Gene and Ben started it. Ben wanted to give me a gift. And that gift was to go see a Green Bay Packers game. And so Gene thought, well, that'd be great. You know, we'll just get that done. And little did she know that if we got a ticket now, it would probably be for 25 years from now that they're sold out. So what are we going to do to get this Father's Day present or whatever going? And so we changed it a little bit, and we went to a Kansas City Chiefs game, because that was Ben's favorite team. It worked out for him. But anyway, we went. And had a good time. We did come away with one kind of deep lesson, that as we're sitting there, and we did enjoy the game, don't get me wrong, but as we're sitting there, we talked about it later, we said, we will go to another professional football game, but we will never go on a Sunday again. Because
we both kind of had that feeling like, all this for that, when we should have all of this for Christ. So, we will go back, but just not on a Sunday. So we left, and we were going back home, and we went past Ma and Pa Kettle's, you know, thing, and we were getting hungry, and so we stopped at a place and ordered our food, and we were eating it and enjoying it, and I went to the restroom and told Ben where I was going, and all of a sudden, here came Ben. Well, I had to go at the same time or whatever, and so we were there, and we went back to our table, and whew, it was all gone. My sandwich, half-eaten sandwich, was gone. His sandwich was gone. Everything was gone. So, had I known the folded napkin thing, perhaps, nah. But it always taught us to leave a message or be prepared in that manner. These details that angels will continue to attend. In death, in life, angels will continue to attend. Does Jesus need angels? But they attend. They're always at the ready. Do you and I always need angels? But they attend. They are ready. Are we ready? We do cry. We must remember, albeit it's so difficult for me sometimes to read and to look back and try to grab a hold of what people are actually going through, because I think, Mary, hang in there. Just a few more minutes, Jesus is going to come, and you're going to feel fine. But I've got to realize that Mary was at her lowest low. She knew the bottom. She was grief-stricken. She was weeping. If she was going to anoint his body, it was probably going to be just with her tears. Deep grief. And then you have that, oh, he's gone, but is he risen? Has he been stolen? What is taking place? And so you're even churning with that within you. But the angels attend. And you might say she was looking for Jesus, but Jesus found her. Sometimes in our confusion and grief, we're looking for Jesus, but Jesus is there. He will find us. Don't ever forget that in whatever desperation you might be in, whatever grief you might be in, whatever your condition might be, Jesus will find you. He is there. And perhaps we just need to open our spiritual eyes and to see that his presence is there. He will call us by name. That's not just a unique thing. You know, it's woman, Mary. Then the familiar comes, the relationship is bonded, the reuniting takes place. They're together. Don't hold on to me. Jesus is saying something very spiritual here, but, you know, it's something very practical. Because indeed, it was this idea of don't try to hang on to me in this way. Hang on to me within. Kind of should carry over to us again that message of, oh, I've got Jesus. Well, you're going to share him with anybody? Don't just hold on to him. Share him with other people. And Mary went out and shared with others. She told others. That's a detail you cannot forget. And one to go back to with Peter and John. He saw and believed. Lucky guy. He got to see. But I have to ask myself, Have I not seen Jesus work? Have I not seen Jesus' presence? Have I not seen Jesus embodied in somebody else? The living Christ lives through us. I'm a fool to say that I've never seen him. So I must see and believe. And I don't want to make this, you know, the thing that you carry away with most, but I want you to think about it. He saw and believed. They still did not understand. That means a lot to me. Because there are times I get very analytical and I like to figure it out. I want to understand it. But my friends, is it not faith that will carry us? Belief? You got to understand it all? Or do you just take the facts, the presence, and believe? I think we should do that. Some details to think about. And yet the details live on. From this Easter time, because of it, we can ask for forgiveness and seek him as Lord and Savior. We can do that. And that's the most important step. But the message of Easter lives on as people seek Christ through us. Amy Carmichael, who might be familiar to many of you, wrote a rather lengthy poem, and I'm just going to take excerpts from it. But in thinking of Easter and Calvary's love, we better make sure that we're paying attention to the details of life, such as, if I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even a thought, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. Arlen, Easter is just about salvation. It's about God's love to us. Yes, because he will watch out for our reputation. He will say nothing against us. We are to be Jesus' instruments in Easter love, in Calvary's love. We want to overlook that detail. If I can write an unkind letter, speak an unkind word, think an unkind thought without grief and shame, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I belittle those whom I have called and been called to serve, talk of their weak points in contrast perhaps with what I think of as my strong points, if I adopt a superior attitude, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I feel injured when another lays to my charge things that I know not, forgetting that my sinless Savior trod this path to the end, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If in the fellowship of service I seek to attach a friend to myself so that others are caused to feel unwanted, if my friendships do not draw others deeper in but are ungenerous, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. Maybe it all comes down to this one. If I covet any place on earth but the dust at the foot of the cross, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. We want to have it exalted all the time. We want to have it feel good all the time. But we should remember the place at the foot of the cross. So you have your details. You have your things that you feel best about. Keep following through with those details, but don't be blind to the other details of Easter. Those things that should instill hope within us, even greater life, because through his service, others will see salvation and they will come to know the risen Lord. So may it be for you, and may it be for me. Amen.